Hey, and it is 9:30, time for Friday Night Hangouts. So we grab a brew, shoot the breeze, interact with you live on the internet. Great panel tonight.
Great what? Panel tonight. It's ladies' night on the Friday Night Hangouts. we've kicked the boss to the background, and tonight we're trying something a little different. I am Krista, one of your regular panelists, hosting the Friday Night Hangout, hashtag Friday Night Hangout here on avoidingchores.com, and we have assembled one of your favorites and a couple of new friends to join us tonight and to talk about all of the wonderful things that have been going on in the immediate vicinity and all kinds of interesting stuff that we found out on the internet this week. We're also going to be drinking some beer and talking about that a little bit, but without further ado, let's meet the panel. Joining us from the hub of Nova Scotia, please give a warm Avoiding Chores welcome to Michelle McCann, at Michelle McCann.
Hello.
Welcome aboard, Michelle. Joining us from Wallace, Nova Scotia.
Even further north.
Even further north, but if that sounds familiar, that's because we've gone over to the better side of the Elliot clan and brought Krista Elliot on board. Yay! Joining us from Wallace. Yay!
I locked Keith in the closet tonight.
And Keith, I guess if you're listening and you're trapped in the closet, like, shout louder because we can't hear you. joining us from the dark side all the way over in Dartmouth, Nova Scotia, we have panel regular and dear friend of the show, Laurie at Pitcher Plant. Hello.
Yay!
Let's talk about what we're drinking. All the way up to Wallace, Nova Scotia. Chris Elliott, what are you drinking tonight?
I am drinking a lovely Pump House Premium Lager.
Nice.
Hard to see the label in the dark, but that's all right. It's going down very nice already.
Excellent. Very good. And Michelle, what do you bring us from the baby tea?
I am drinking, let's see here, Nook and Cranny, because I drink the Nook and Cranny as much as possible. Blueberry Wheat, so it's their in-house beer that they have on tap and for growlers in-house.
No, I'm not familiar with the Nook and Cranny. It's a relatively new...
It turned a year old in May. They opened in May of last year and then started doing their own brewing in May of this year. So they're relatively new, and they've got a great patio and a great staff and a great product and good food. So it all adds up to a place I like to spend my time.
If you follow Michelle on Instagram, she does.
It's the summer of blueberry wheat. I joke to them. I'm like, I'm taking this picture and I'm going to make a collage of blueberry wheat.
No shade, no shame, because I've been drinking basically the same three beers all summer. So
exactly.
It's summer. Once you find your beer, lock it down.
Yep.
And Lori, what do you have over in Dartmouth tonight?
I am drinking Duduciel Rosé Hibiscus.
Oh, well. Now, memory serves. I believe we sampled some of that on our recent beer trip to Montreal. Is that not correct?
I did quite a bit of that because it's delightful.
Yeah, we love
it. I wanted to try that last time we were the goat and they didn't have any.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Sounds good. Yeah, they usually have it year-round. They stock it at the privates here in Halifax, too, so you can stock up there. For my first beer, I am drinking the Boxing Rock Sessionista.
Nice.
This one is empty, though, so I'll be changing up pretty soon. So let's get into it. We're going to start on a note. I can't remember if we talked about it on the last Hangout or not, but last weekend was the Evolve Music Festival up in Inigan-ish. Correct me if I'm wrong, ladies.
Yep.
Prior to that, there was a good news story that quickly became a bad news story that quickly became a good news story because they were looking at doing some drug testing this year to, I guess, validate the purity of various substances that are found at these sorts of events and in what a lot of people thought was a pretty considered harm reduction approach. And then their event insurance got canceled. And then they found another one, but they couldn't do the drug testing. And then over the weekend, the music festival happened. There were a couple of a pretty typical number of medical incidents, I understand, for that. But there was one very serious one where a young man had to be airlifted to a hospital in Halifax with seizures. And he did pass away this morning, unfortunately. So there's been no direct attribution to any sort of drug use, though it's certainly been applied. If you read the comments, don't read the comments ever. Not that it had anything to do with this young man's death, but when it comes to drugs and music festivals, where did they do the right thing with trying to do this testing thing, right idea, wrong execution?
I think they did. I mean, I think it's naive to say, oh, it's a music festival, you know, people aren't going to do drugs, or we want to, you know, prevent them from doing drugs. It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So, you know, get your head out of your butt and try to get that harm reduction in there so that at least people are safe. You don't have to, you know, encourage and say, hey, everybody, let's get completely, you know, blitzed. But basically, it's almost like, you know, a good parental approach to safe sex. I don't want you doing it, but if you're going to do it, be safe.
Yeah. If you're going to do it, be safe, make good choices.
Yeah.
Make good choices. That's, you know, should be your motto. It is your motto. It should be, it's just a good life motto, right? But I think, again, I read an article, I read the one that you sent us, Krista, and then I had seen one in the Chronicle Herald that said that this boy, I mean, he was only 21, had a history of epilepsy and that sort of thing, and that the initial blood test had said no drugs in the system. Hmm. Who knows if that was, you know, accurate information, but at the same time, in that same article, there was a doctor at the Antigonish Hospital who was saying that she was terrified because she had never seen, like, 16 cases of altered mental state / seizures, right?
Well,
but
yeah,
it is a festival. It's just small in a small town. If it was like, what is it called? I'm going to sound old, but is it Oshaga, the one that's up in
yeah.
Montreal?
Yeah. Or Glastonbury, like or any of those ones,
yeah.
Right?
Any of them, yeah.
Yeah. God, you go to like a Richard Marx concert, there's going to be drugs.
Especially at a Richard Marx
concert.
Can
you imagine? Yeah. I imagine like the Molly, the rolling on Molly at a Richard Marx concert would probably be a pretty transcendental experience.
It could be.
Yeah. Don't do drugs at Richard Marx concerts, grown ups.
Don't do drugs ever.
We expect better of you.
I don't understand why insurance companies have such an issue with the whole, you know, testing of drugs by saying, listen, we're going to offer this service, doesn't necessarily infer that we're saying, hey, everybody, raid your parents' cupboards and come on in and, like, you know, shut your face full of pills or something. It doesn't mean that at all, and I don't see that as a one-to-one relationship. I see that as, you know, number one, the organizers are protecting the attendees' safety. Plus, I think they're kind of trying to protect their own reputation and protect their own interests by offering a safer environment. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And why insurance companies wouldn't understand that, I'm not too clear on.
Well, what it comes down to is, depending on where you stand on the war on drugs, they for lots of legal reasons, you can't condone, it's implied that you're condoning the usage of these drugs if you provide a safe environment to do it. So this is basically the same argument that's made around safe injection sites and medical marijuana and all kinds of stuff like that. So, you know, I tend not to be a prohibitionist that way, but because with street drugs, and particularly with these chemical drugs, which didn't really exist when I went to university, so a lot of the stuff is like very like a lot of it just sounds terrifying. It's like, well, I don't want to touch everybody. Like, that sounds awful. Like, there is nothing appealing
my
about
dance space. Your dance space.
Yeah, like MDMA sounds horrifying. I'm like, I don't want to touch that many people ever. So, I mean, maybe the drugs would help. That might be part of it. But MDMA, I'm 41. But yeah, I mean, it's really, you know, Evolve had a pretty good track record on the drug front until I think they had had some, certainly some medical issues, some overdoses, that sort of thing, but I don't think they've had anything quite this serious in the past. So that's kind of unfortunate, especially where the organizer did try to do right by them. Maybe it's not related. It'll all come out in the wash, I'm sure. And I did make a promise of no shopping and shoe talk, so moving right along. Something that has emerged as my new favorite way to remind myself that I still kind of live in a small town is the recent furor that has arisen over the Halifax branding efforts of our fair regional municipality, and a sign got changed, and it took the old brand to put the new brand up, and it spawned this very curious local internet subculture that is connecting the dots on what is a pretty impressive conspiracy theory to remove Dartmouth from the map. So the Coast has been following this as a close follower of urban affairs in our fair regional municipality. Dartmouth versus Halifax. I gotta be honest, to me, this is all playing out like an extended version of Parks and Recreation. And it's like totally. Like Pawnee and like West Pawnee having a branding war. And I feel like we could have one of those municipal meeting scenes where Leslie Knope goes and it's just a cast of completely unusual characters with very specific grievances to air. So what do you think? Halifax versus Dartmouth, is this really a branding war? Really?
I can kind of sympathize. I mean, I can feel some sympathy for the people of Dartmouth. I mean, there were people there, probably quite a lot of people, who were opposed to amalgamation in the first place and feel that it was done, you know, totally against their will. So then to feel that, you know, this they're slowly being assimilated into the Halifax Borg, I can see why they might be a little bit, you know, sketchy about the whole thing.
When the regional municipality aspect got dropped from the brand, it just got confusing. And I could see it. I was like, I remember driving in into the city at one point, and I was like, it's going to be confusing for people. And it's going to, I was like, I could feel the rage coming because it was just like, Dartmouth is so adamantly Dartmouth. Bedford doesn't seem to care so much, you know, but Dartmouth is the anti-Halifax.
Bedford doesn't care. Lori, you wanna? Do you have any? You live in Dartmouth. You are one of the aggrieved parties, according to the conspiracy-based Facebook groups that exist about this.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not aggrieved at all. And I'll say this: I love living in Dartmouth. Dartmouth, for folks who haven't spent a lot of time here, has lots to offer. It's a great community. Fantastic. The fact of the matter is,
it's got all of the lakes. It has
all of the lakes. It has all the lakes. The fact of the matter is that the Halifax Regional Municipality, of which it is known, that is their legal name, is the Halifax Regional Municipality, is comprised of 200 individual communities. And then when I say that, that's 200 provincially recognized communities. Plus all of the locally known communities, as well, that is not provincially recognized. I really do think, like, the logo or the brand is Halifax, and the signage before had the lighthouse with the Halifax Regional Municipality. So I'm not completely sure I understand where the virulent pushback is coming from the Halifax Regional Municipality lighthouse to the new Halifax brand. I don't know when the switch was flipped there to say we are now, you know, getting rid of the other community names. And I actually read Councillor Wei Mason's blog post, which was responding to a number of the grievances or perceived grievances by the Dartmouth folks, such as, phasing out Dartmouth out of the whole mailing postal communities and things of that nature. Well, that's just not happening. I don't know where all of this churn is coming from. You know, if somebody, and I'm sure I'm not the first person to say this, and I have a lot of opinions, but I'm not the first person to say that. If I'm speaking to somebody who is outside of the province and especially outside of the country, if they were to ask me where I reside, I would say I live in Halifax, Nova Scotia. Mm-hmm. If somebody who I knew was familiar with that, with the Nova Scotia or even within the city or the province, I'd say mm-hmm. I live in Dartmouth, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah. for me, it's simply a way to give perspective to people about where I live. I reside in Dartmouth, Nova Scotia, and that's a fact. But for people who have
only
no
until
concept,
Halifax takes it away from you, man.
You're right. But for people who don't understand,
arm yourself,
that,
Lori. Arm yourself.
Exactly. You know what? I grew up just outside Cornerbrook, Newfoundland, and if somebody were to ask, I lived in Little Rapids. But if anybody were to ask me outside of that area, I'd say I grew up in Cornerbrook. And it's that simple. I don't feel slighted because people
I grew up in a community that was part of a municipality. It was between two towns, and I just always said I was from the closest town because this is literally something that does not matter.
I grew up here. Well, I didn't grow up here. I grew up in the valley, which is in the county. It was very important when I was a kid to make that differentiation because I was not a townie. You know, I was from Valley. I didn't go to school in town, that kind of thing. Now I am a townie. But when I went to university, I just said Truro because they're going to be like Valley and think it's the Valley and think I'm from, you know, where Krista's from. it's just confusing. But even now when I meet people, I do say I'm from Truro, but most people don't know. So it's like Truro about an hour from Halifax. Exactly. Yeah. You know,
and
so there's
only
that.
Imagine what I say when people ask where I'm from.
About an hour from Toronto.
the context for this always drives me crazy because these things only matter, and the arguments only have context if you are incredibly locally ingrained in these things. Yeah. So if you're talking to someone from Toronto, they, you know, or even worse, further west, they might not even know where Halifax is.
Yeah.
You know, they may not know where Nova Scotia is. So, I mean, there is, some of this is, I'm going to drink when I say it too, some of this is like kind of Ivany Report related, like gotta change your attitudes, change your thinking things, because these kinds of like small p provincial, like parochial battles about things that are, you know, I guess symbolically important, but in terms of day-to-day life are not going to be the things that are going to really impact most people's day-to-day living.
We're in the midst of a rebranding process in Truro for the town, and I'm interested to see what comes of it because it's very much a, you know, they've asked for input and that sort of thing, but I'm a little scared because it is a small town and I'm worried that the tagline and the logo is going to be the brand. It's like, no, we need to get beyond that. And because, you know, I've been in meetings where people have referred to Truro as the GTA, the Greater Truro Area, and I want to stab myself in the head because it's delusions of grandeur. And I'm like, let's be what we are. We're a good town, a small town.
This is also some new school, old school Halifax politics stuff going on because one of the more strident defenders of the rebranding exercise has been one of our newer councillors going up against the stalwart last mayor of Dartmouth, Gloria McCuskey, who goes on actual like news radio shows, call-in shows, and tells him to stay on this side of the harbor and actively admits that she votes on things vindictively. And like it's just like a very like old school style politics that is whatever, like, you know, she's been successful at it long enough that I guess she can do whatever the hell she wants. But on the other hand, it's really disappointing to kind of watch and say, like, really? Like, is there a future still? Really? Because we did politics like that when I was growing up outside of Bridgewater in, you know, the 80s. You know what? Like, while all this is going on, it distracts from the fact that the North End Secessionist Army continues to organize. In plain sight.
And it could be worse. You could be in Spring Hill.
And Krista, anything happening with our hashtag?
Not a whole lot other than one particular friend of the show, a certain Mel, who seems to be calling the fact that we're ladies into question.
Yeah, she's got a lot of opinions about that, and if she wanted to express those opinions, she could have joined us.
You're right.
Yeah. Like, there is, like, yeah. extra space here. She could have been.
All right, moving on. This one just happened this morning, but Elle Jones, who is a local activist and writer and artist, spoken word poet, is currently acting as Halifax's Poet Laureate, and she announced that she has to leave Halifax because she can't find permanent stable work here, so she's taking up a position, I believe, with the Iowa Writers Workshop, which is an incredibly prestigious writing program. So that's actually an amazing opportunity. It's an amazing opportunity for her. But, you know, she has taken her role as activist and is being very public about this and how she's really struggling with, you know, how she's really struggling with this because she wants to stay here and she wants to contribute to this community. And anyone that is familiar with the racial and gender issues that are going on, particularly in our city, are certainly familiar with her face and her work, and she's been doing a lot to really challenge some traditional. But
yeah, I have to plead ignorance on that. I honestly, I mean, that's a I had heard her name, but I until today I didn't know much about her.
That's fair.
And but it's all. I mean, anybody who stirs the pot is good in my opinion, because we need to learn to, you know, change the way we think about things. But I think the life of an academic, do they not, like, I remember having professors in university who none of them were local. You know, it's not like they had grown up in, I went to St. Evax, they didn't grow up in Antigonish and,
no,
you know,
she's
stay
not
there. They kind of move around. Yes, yeah, I saw she was from Winnipeg.
And she moved here. But she has been a really tremendous voice in the community. I really do think this one's going to hurt. And the only reason, and I've been talking about it a lot today, because, of course, when I lost my job back in April, I was in the exact same situation. You know, my job options were pretty limited. Yeah. And, you know, my first plan was to look for work, and my second plan was to look for work elsewhere, and that was something that I had really kind of put some kind of meat into planning-wise, and because, I mean, that's just the reality. You know, I'm pretty educated. I have, you know, almost 20 years work experience now, and the kinds of jobs that I guess people think I deserve to take were, like, retail and...
Short-term... It's the point where you're not an entry-level... You're not an entry-level person. You know, we're all well beyond that state of our lives. Yeah. And I remember when you lost your job, I'm like, oh, crap, Krista's going to leave. Because that was my first thought.
Yeah, like that was certainly my plan B, and I didn't make any secret of that. But, I mean, things worked out very well for me, and I'm very happy with the job that I have. But at the same time, like, that's a pretty blunt reality here, and it really brings out this very antagonistic side. Like, I generally advise avoiding the comments anyway, but you definitely want to avoid the comments on this post because they are just, there are a level of nasty that, and I don't even want to know what CBC actually blocked, because usually anything that involves anyone from the African Canadian community gets pretty vile. You know, and honestly,
and that's where, I mean, internet, you're part of the problem. You know, if people, that's their opinion, they don't see the loss in her. And our province needs as many, you know, energetic, youngish people, you know, because I throw myself into that. I'm not, you know, 20, but I still have a lot of years left, and you need that energy from people. And you need, like I said, you need people who are willing to start arguments and start people thinking about things. Yeah. Well, and it's always that automatic. Yeah, it's like, no, we don't want to change. So,
and we're definitely
go
not.
Away.
Gonna and I would have to say, like, Elle Jones writes for the Halifax Examiner on Tim Bousquet's Saturday edition, and the first number of times I read the Saturday edition, I just felt really, really uncomfortable about what it was she was saying. Then I kind of had to, you know, look at myself and go, you know what? I think it's very good that there's somebody who's going to turn over those rocks and, yeah, like, look at the shit that is in the underbelly of our community and is willing to, like, again, shine a light on it and go, this is what you're doing.
And yeah.
Maybe not me personally, but us as a society, and saying, this is what you're doing, this is what you're saying, and we need to have a dialogue about that. And I think that there's a lot of value in her having done that for the examiner, and in her general day-to-day interactions with the public. Sure. I think that there needs to be people in our community who is not afraid of saying, I'm calling you on your shit, and this is why. And I think, you know, while I believe that this is probably a fantastic opportunity for her, and I'm sure it is, because as Krista said, it's quite a prestigious position to be the, I think it's the writer in residence or whatever, it's going to be a loss, and because we have to then now turn to other people who are as publicly willing to overturn those rocks, and I think there will be a real gap that L leaving will leave with our community.
For sure.
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, the thing is that, you know, as, you know, white cis women, we basically live in this sort of bubble of privilege and really don't realize what life is like for other marginalized people. And when we have other people pointing us saying, hey, this is what's happening to me, and this is my experience, and this is the experience of other people, then yeah, there is that discomfort there, because it sort of lets us know, like, okay, maybe things aren't as great as we thought, and maybe life isn't as idyllic as I thought just because it's that way for me. And unfortunately, that at first initial reaction is to get defensive and be like, well, no, what are you talking about? I'm a nice person, you know? Yeah. This isn't racism, but we need people like Elle, unfortunately, because we white people aren't really in a place yet to examine our privilege, and we still need people to point it out for us. And that's sad as hell, but that's still where we are right now.
It's where
and
we
I
are.
Think it's,
I mean, change only comes through through having those being...
Exactly, that's my
it
discomfort.
It doesn't have to be adversarial.
Discomfort.
But,
yeah.
But that's where the learning comes from.
Not learning.
Yeah, that's where the learning comes from. So we are going through our topics here. One of the things, one of the projects of one of our panel members tonight is something that's been... I think it's really fun. I hope it's going well for her. Lori, you put together a calendar of community events and activities and suppers that have been going on throughout the summer. Or, well, year-round, I guess. Want to tell us a little bit about that and then maybe something that's going on?
Sure can. So it actually all started, Christopher, Melanie, Close, and myself went to a pancake breakfast out in Tantallon, that was amazing. They did not make a cent off me, I'm going to tell you that right now. Oh my God, it was amazing. And as we were sitting around the table, you know, we all got in this conversation about, you know, growing up as kids. I know for me especially, there was always a church dinner, like a church coal plate or a church roast beef dinner and things of that nature. And my question was, and Krista and Mel were talking about, I think it was a pancake supper or something going on near close to where Krista lives in Halifax.
It's famous.
It is. It's fantastic, actually. And I was like, you know what? Why isn't there a place where we can find out where all of these are? And, you know, then we were kind of chatting about it, and I said, you know what? I'm going to, like, do up something. And I didn't know what it was going to be. And then I just said, you know what? I'm going to do a calendar. So I started with just a calendar, and it was just, like, community, like, chowder dinners and pancake breakfasts and you know, lobster suppers and stuff like that. And then you know, people started mentioning, well, you know, can you add like craft fairs? And then I started saying, well, you know what, especially in the summertime, there's lots of festivals. So I started adding, like, you know, festivals and community events to the calendar. And now I actually, as opposed to just concentrating on the Halifax area, I actually try to go right across the province. So if anybody is curious, I'll give you the website. It's nscommunityevents.wordpress.com. And that's NS for Nova Scotia, communityevents.wordpress.com. And basically what I do is I have, you know, community leaders and participants who email me if they have things coming up. I scour local newspapers and websites and try to find out where these events are occurring, and then I just kind of put them in all in one place. Hopefully, if somebody is going, you know, say up to the Northern Shore and they want to say, well, you know what, are there any like strawberry socials going on, because that's big right now, they could go to my website and the calendar, or even the cumulative post I do every week, and find out where there might be some of those types of events. So saying that, I'm going to give you guys a couple of highlights through the province. So as everybody knows, the Halifax Pride Festival is going on here for the next 10 days, so from the 16th to the 26th, which is, I've been to, I think, them every year for the past 3 or 4 years, at least one event, and it's fantastic. There's a designer craft show at Victoria Park in Halifax as well, from the 17th to the 19th. A lot of great local artisans and things of that nature. Tomorrow, McNabb's has their, McNabb's Island has their anniversary picnic. There's a strawberry social in Sambro, so check that out. That's in the Halifax region. Down in the south, I know.
Is there like a ferry run, or how do you get out to McNabb's?
I'm not sure how that is working. I think there is some type of a ferry, but I'm not interested. They have a website, I think, so you can check that out. The South Shore, which I have to say is wonderful for like community breakfasts. I've never seen it any place like it before in my life. There's at least there's two going on at Riverport and Petite Riviere, and a number of strawberry desserts socials, one and down in New Germany. So, and then the Bay of Fundy and Annapolis Valley region, we've got a couple of breakfasts in Bridgetown, Windsor, Black River, the Annapolis River Festival is in Bridgetown, and a couple of farmers markets in Annapolis Royal and Windsor, and Krista, in the Northumberland Shore region, there is a seafood chowder event tomorrow night in Wallace.
Oh,
really? Yeah.
See, I didn't know about that.
Elliot should go there for dinner.
There you should.
Yeah, and then there's a lobster dinner tomorrow night in River John. And then in Cape Breton Island, there's the Cape Breton Farmers Market, which is open tomorrow. And I don't know if people know, but Big Spruce is usually got a booth down at the
Farmers Market.
Yeah, which is fantastic. And there's a strawberry tea and sale at Big Bredor next Wednesday. There you go.
This is our first attempt at this, but it's going very well.
Would it help if I flashed my boobs?
I think it would, but unfortunately most of these fools won't even realize it until they watch the replay on YouTube.com. Like, oh my god! Like an hour
in the new countdown.
You see boobs!
Yeah. One, two, three, boom!
They could be on the Centaur on the cover of a Chuck Tingle novel, but there will be.
How did I know you were going to bring those up?
Oh, because I love Chuck Tingle.
I know you do.
He is the spirit guide of the
I wonder, though, now that Amazon has talked about restructuring how they're going to pay their writers, if Chuck Tingle is going to continue to write.
Oh, God, I hope so. I don't want to envision a Chuck Tingle-less world. I don't even want to think about it. And then Jim says, Chuck does 4-page stories. So, yes, and they're masterpieces. Every single one of them is a masterpiece.
I have a lot of opinions on movies because I, at one time, used to go to no fewer than 3 movies a week at the theater. One of my most loathed loathed movies is Dances with Wolves.
Never.
And I'm going to tell you that I saw that at the Majestic Theater in Quarter Brook, and I sat there for what it seemed like 6 hours.
150 years.
And I looked at my watch, and it was 45 minutes. And I turned to my friend Janet, and I said, I'll be back later. And I walked around for an hour and a half, came back, and shit still didn't happen.
It was another hour and a half after that.
I know. I was like,
how long was this goddamn movie?
And everybody's like, oh, Academy Award. I'm like, are you people sniffing glue? Because it was horrible. I also didn't like Titanic. Like, I just didn't. People would go and see that 5 and 6 times. I'm like, do you have a life?
It's 3.5 hours long.
Nope. Eyes Wide Shut. Also.
Oh my God!
So myself and my friend Ray Lynn stood in line opening night because it was a Stanley Kubrick movie, and I really enjoyed Stanley Kubrick, and we stood in line opening night for 2.5 hours.
Sat through that movie,
which had more. A cut toenail has more sexual tension than that screen. And I sat there and had spent, like, you know, $25 and about 6.5 hours of my life watching that bullshit.
You will never get that time back, Lori.
No!
All Tom Cruise's fault.
Oh, yep. He went through this phase where I wanted to punch him in the face, and that
still
thing,
in that
it was like it was like Eyes Wide Shut, Magnolia, Vanilla Sky, that whole
attention.
I liked him and Nicole Kidman in Far and Away. I love Far and Away.
I feel like it doesn't hold up well.
So I'm not going to watch it again.
I love them in Mission Impossible. I think those movies. And that's like Brad Pitt. There was a period there where he did like Meet Joe Black, and was it A River Runs Through It? And then there was this other one that they were the most fucking depressing movies I've ever seen. And I'm like, you know, you need to go back and get in the back of the car with Thelma and Louise and go off that bloody cliff.
Because he went and got really hot again and did Mr. and Mrs. Smith with Angelina.
And then I liked him again.
He was hot in that.
Well, now he's kind of insufferable again, but I really liked Mr. and Mrs. Smith. So listen, I think that'll be a good time to wrap up. I want to thank everyone who joined us on the panel tonight. Thanks, Michelle and Krista.
We should do this again.
I think we had a lot of fun. I want to thank our. we need to figure out your lighting situation.
Yeah.
But I also want to thank Jim and Keith and Mike and Lee and Dan for giving up the co-ed hangout for Friday night. It was a lot of fun. Thanks to everyone who commented and chimed in, and I hope we can reconvene at a date to be determined in the future and do this again.
Either
in person or with all of our friends on the internet. And so with that, I'm going to offer the traditional farewell to the Google Plus Hangout, Friday Night Hangout. Good meeting!
Good meeting!
Good meeting!
Good meeting!